I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith, Studio 1B, it is UFUF 108 coming at you with Tony, the piously arrogant bully opinionist, along with my friend, a man who I've never seen in a black Fiat. However, he is the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis von Kistering. Hey. Fran, how are you?
I am good. Fall is here. It just hit me.
I don't like it.
It's dark when I drive to the studio now at 8 o'clock. It never used to be. And Tennessee's about to get beat by Florida on Saturday. It's fall.
Let's hope not for once.
There'll be mass hysteria if they lose that game.
I'm planning my fall motorcycle ride, but I hate it when I got to plan on wearing leathers just to stay warm.
Yeah.
I like the 80 degrees.
Well, that's
Fran, we're both wearing the political tees tonight.
Yes.
You're wearing the Jab 2016.
Don't mock the power of the exclamation point, buddy.
I'm wearing the Carla Fiorina, but I have a Jeb and also a Trump that I'm going to wear.
Yeah, look at you.
The Jeb is 65 polyester, 35 sorry, cotton. No, wait a minute. Wait, yeah. No, I got that wrong.
Yeah.
The Carly is 65 polyester, 25. It's nice. It's a little thin.
Yeah.
But it's a quality tee. I feel good in it. The Jeb is, it's 50% polyester, 25% cotton, 25% rayon. And you got the white one. Yeah. I got the blue.
Oh, that's sharp.
Navy
like
blue
that.
With the...
Oh, now I feel bad about my white one. That looks good.
It looks good. That's a good looking tee. And I also got the... we're going to make America great again, Francis.
We have the classiest t-shirts. You're not even going to believe how classy our t-shirts are going to be. They're going to be the best t-shirts.
And let me tell you what. This is the best tee. It's 100% heavy cotton. Feel that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And it's a nice t-shirt. It's made by Gildan, who makes a lot of sports shirts and whatever.
Well, that's Frank's Place t-shirts are made by them.
Yeah, it's 100% heavy cotton. And it's a nice tee. So, you know, you want to get some nice t-shirts.
I missed out. You know, I have a Feel the Burn Bernie Sanders t-shirt. I have a Hillary t-shirt. I missed out on getting a Scott Walker. We'll talk about that in a minute, but that shirt might be going places.
Well, I still want to get a Rubio.
The haircut or the t-shirt?
The t-shirt.
Well, no. Give me the
Nobody's
Rubio.
Cut my hair. I want the Rubio tee. I haven't got that yet, but I have got a couple. So, all right. So, we got some stuff. Now, our quality control department called us. Actually, I called our quality control department out last week, Francis, because we said we were going to do I'm Running for President and totally blew by it.
When you rely on unpaid interns, this is what you get.
We got wrapped up on serious issues, but we're going to do I'm Running for President tonight, and it's a very special I'm Running for President. Of course, we got Shotgunning News, Hardcore Politics. We're going to do a culture clash. We're going to talk a little bit about Benny Boy. BC to DC 2016.
Nice. That might be better than Feel the Burn. That might be better.
That's a nice one. And we'll do a little Are You Kidding Me? So let's get to Shotgun of the News.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
All right, Fran, I'll turn this over to you. Pope Francis I is here.
He's here. Came in from Cuba. Landed in the U.S. President met the plane. It's surprising how excited the president appeared to be. I don't know if you watched it.
I caught bits and pieces of it.
I mean, he almost ready to bound up the stairs to hug the guy. I mean, he just seemed very excited. For a non-Catholic, that seemed a little bizarre to me. But, it was a typical greeting you would see for Pope. If you remember the last few popes that came here. That's pretty typical, but people out in throngs. I mean, people come from all over to see this guy. As popular as we've been kind of pumping him up to be, and this guy.
Well, it was kind of like last time. Pope John Paul that
John Paul II came. Yeah,
came over.
Yeah,
He's there's a lot of Catholics in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, we know some friends that have traveled to DC to see him.
Yeah.
I don't get the whole Fiat thing, but, you know.
That, yeah, I didn't really understand the significance of that. Why wasn't it in his Pope-mobile anyway? I guess, I don't know if that travels or not, but did he have his glass case? I didn't see it.
No, he was just in the regular car. Fiat to me.
But maybe, you know, pumping up the boys back home, you know. Italian, you know, he is the vicar of that.
The thing was, he was in a little Fiat, surrounded by a whole bunch of Chevy Suburbans,
yeah,
right?
Armed tanks, essentially, is what those are, yeah. He's got his detractors as well. There were big protests in San Francisco where he canonized Padre Fierro, I think his name was, who basically founded California with a series of missions up and down the state. But the story of this Padre's abuse of the Indian tribes there is well known, and so there's a lot of people protesting him being canonized as a saint. So it's hit or miss with the Pope, but he's already made some pretty big statements. Not a fan of capitalism, not a fan of a lot of things that the Americans are fond of. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how this goes down with the members of the different political parties.
Spectacles, testicles, wallet, and watch. All right, next. Francis, Delaware Senator Coon takes a few shots at Hillary.
Yeah, Democratic Senator Chris Coons. He beat the I Am Not a Witch woman. I can't remember her name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that nut job.
She was not a witch.
Yes.
But she would have won.
I'm you. She's you, Tony. She's That's right. you. Anyway, he's the senator who won that race in Delaware. He now runs without campaigning, and he wins all the time. Anyway, he did an interview with a local station there in Delaware. And he said not one flattering thing about Hillary Clinton. Like, everything he said is damaging to her. This guy's a Democrat, if you're not aware. He basically, and the big enchilada is basically, hey, this is, I've expected her to be more transparent, more artful, more forthcoming. She has not been that. This makes this feel like Clinton era politics, when it seems like there was a controversy about everything. And he's, of course, referring to when Bill Clinton was president for his two terms. So,
and there was a controversy about everything.
And there really was, right? That's not even hyperbole. That's kind of factual. There was always a controversy about something. Things that trailed him from his days as the Arkansas governor following to the White House. So, but this guy's got a D after his name. And this is a presidential election going on. And he's, as they say, which will be a T-shirt I will buy instantly. He's riding with Biden. I will have that T-shirt the second it's printed.
I will buy it.
Which is not surprising. Obviously, Biden, longtime senator from Delaware, Coons got Biden's seat. That's the seat he's sitting in. So obviously, he would back Joe if he's ready to get in the race. But it sheds some light on the Democratic faithful are not afraid to throw grenades at Hillary. I mean, I think they feel like.
Well, I think that's a big sign.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is
a huge sign.
Yeah,
because that's part of the problem Republicans have, is that you know when it comes down to it, a lot of Republicans, and we've talked about this before, don't want to vote for a rhino,
right,
which is just like stupid shit, by the way.
Right.
If you want to know my opinion,
your favorite
and I'm
term.
As conservative as they come, but Democrats, they don't give a shit. They'll vote for the damn Democratic nominee. Go out and vote.
Yeah.
So, if we could get into an extended discussion about it, it proves itself more out in national politics than I think it does in local politics. But Republicans want to draw that line, like, I'm not going to vote for you on principle. Whereas Democrats will. They'll vote for the nominee.
Right. So this is a clear break from that.
And it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Which
because Hillary's starting to take some flack, and let's explore that next. All right, so the FBI is recovering emails that Hillary said were erased.
Right, they're in personal and work emails. So she's deleted work emails, which, in my opinion, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm certainly not a federal attorney, but this compounds the supposed crime. Like, she used a personal server, we know now, for email, which she was not allowed to do. But now she's deleted work email. And this is not like me sending you an email saying, hey, dude, we're going to be on from 6 to 10 tonight, you know, when we were in the military. She's a secretary. She's a member of the cabinet.
Right.
You just can't erase your own work email. Those are not yours. That is, and as stupid as this is going to sound, those communications are part of posterity. You are a member of history.
Yeah.
You cannot just erase those.
You're the Secretary of State of the free freaking world.
The greatest country that, you can't just, look, they still have John Adams' letters, you know what I mean? You just can't erase your email. Well, we know why she's erasing them, right? I mean, it's all in this one gigantic push to get rid of something. There's a needle in the haystack somewhere, and the FBI apparently decided they're going to look for it.
Well, and there's an article in the New York Post came out just today, as a matter of fact, that said they cannot understand why this is not being reported as a criminal investigation, because that's what it is, because that's what the FBI does. They engage in criminal investigations. It's not being reported that way because maybe the DOJ doesn't want to hurt a campaign or whatever, but this is a criminal investigation.
I think the DOJ doesn't want to jump. This is not...
I think you're right what you said 2 months ago.
Yeah.
They want to make sure
they're
right before they move.
This isn't some petty staffer who used a copier for their own personal gain. You know what I mean? This is a big fish, and they are not going to look foolish if they can't make this thing go. So
right.
They're going to make sure, painstakingly sure, they have everything dealt with, you know, T's crossed, I's dotted, before they jump. Because if you miss, this is going to hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is
a
Hillary
big matzo ball.
It's a big matzo ball that's got a lot of juice. And if you know, what's that saying? You come at the king, don't miss.
Yeah.
Look, the Clintons are powerful, whether you like it or not.
Right.
They will mess you up. And so they got to have this squared away before they do anything. And clearly they know the issue here, too. The minute the DOJ decides to move, they're wading into the national election for president. That's not a small thing. They got to be sure what they're doing before they put that foot down and plant their flag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to alter the election wrongfully. Because, and again, as dumb as this is about to sound, if they find no wrongdoing, then they smeared a potential presidential candidate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they just got to take your time. The American people are going to have to be patient. They are not going to move until they are absolutely sure they've got this thing locked up.
That's true. All right, next. Fran, my favorite is it feels like deja vu all over again.
And I think the media's favorite is it's never over till it's over.
It's over.
We say that every weekend.
Yes.
It's not over till it's over.
Talking about Yogi Berra passed away at 90.
Yeah.
Many yoga-isms credited to him. If you come to a fork in the road, take it.
I think my favorite is you should go to other people's funerals, because if you don't, they won't come to yours. That's my favorite. It's funny to hear people talk about him. They're talking to Yankees fans and baseball fans in general. He's just an everyday guy. He's just a good guy. Just a regular dude. That's really not true. The yogi-isms really cover over the fact that this was one of the greatest baseball players in the history of the game.
Right.
Not just the greatest catcher, which arguably he's in the top five. He's one of the greatest baseball players. But because of the persona that he was adopted after, and what he really made money with in commercials and stuff after his playing days were over, that gets glossed over the fact the guy has 11 World Series titles. He was a Gold Glover, I don't know how many years. MVP. I mean, the dude was one of the greatest players in the history of the game. And a lot of those stats are starting to come out now because he passed away. And holy cow, how was he not a first ballot Hall of Famer? I mean, just amazing statistics. Little guy, and the amount of home runs he hit, just incredible. He was a tiny dude, and he was just, and he was clutch, man, just clutch. So, one of the great characters in baseball has passed away, 90 years old.
Was a great character. A lot of great stuff. R.I.P. Yogi Berra. All right, friends, so Los Angeles has a homeless crisis on their hands.
Don't we all?
We don't all.
No, we don't.
They're committing $100 million to this problem. They have... here's a couple facts about it. First of all, they have about 26,000 homeless people in Los Angeles.
Wow.
That's the size of a small town.
Yeah.
Yeah, 26,000.
Yeah.
Now, in July, this is last July, this is September, Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., said that his office was preparing a three-part battle for what he dubbed was a war on homelessness in Los Angeles.
He's going to kill them all? Is that to make it easier?
He said the plan would be released in a month. That was in July.
Yeah. No plan yet, is what you're saying?
Well, they're coming out with it now, friend. They're coming out with it.
Was it a calendar month, or was it 30
days? Let's not get into the details.
This is only September. I mean.
But, yeah, so he come out with this three-part plan, and I don't know what the plan is. You're going to throw $100 million at it, and it's...
To do what? They going to build them houses or something?
Well... they're going to, yeah, I'm looking through here right now. The main pillars are expansion of a system for tracking the homeless people.
Oh, they're going to tag them like deer.
Going to give them ear tags. they're going to create new centers for street dwellers to store their belongings and use social services.
Wouldn't that what the train lockers are for?
Well,
I guess not. All right,
and anti-poverty measures that could prevent people from losing their homes in the first place.
Which hence would keep them from being homeless.
So let me hazard a guess. 26,000 homeless people, they're going to throw $100 million at it, and nothing's going to happen.
Oh, God, no. What are they going to do with, I mean...
I don't know.
Well, because the...
You're treating the symptom, not the problem.
The premise is bad anyway.
Oh, here's the other thing that they're going to do. Let me see, and I didn't see this. You know, one of the things they're going to do, Fran, to stem the homelessness problem is raise the minimum wage.
How does that affect the people who aren't working?
I have no idea. That's what they wrote in the article.
Is it bad to assume that all the 26,000 are also jobless? I mean, I know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because I know there are homeless people who do work.
They're going to pay. They're
going to
pay $10 an hour more for jobs that none of these people would have. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. But that's one of their tenets. Yeah. They're going to raise the minimum wage.
I mean, the centers. I get that. I think I'm not sure.
You get what?
Building the centers. Although I don't, they're not going to store their. If you've ever met homeless people, and we have a sizable population in Knoxville, and the church that I go to, they have a food kitchen in the bottom of the church that services a lot of homeless people.
Yeah.
They don't give up their belongings. They're not going to store it in a building where they can't see it all day long.
That's all they have.
Not to mention, and some of those people do work. Some of those people work at some of those fast food restaurants on the strip, but they don't, and the church uses the church's address to allow them to get jobs. The point of that being, these people don't want to live. They like living where they are. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to go inside. They don't want to. Some of that is, there are mental... I mean, it's not... You know, I mean, you just can't take a $100 million brush and paint that and say, well, we're going to fix it for everybody. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. I mean, that's not...
Doesn't to me, but that's what they're going to do.
Well, they're not. I mean, they say they're going to do that.
And actually, Jay Handel, chairman of the West L.A. Sawtelle Neighborhood Council, said... It's going to take a whole lot more than $100 million to fix the problem we've created for 40 years. Yeah, nice, Jay. That's nice.
But that's
a good
true.
Story.
You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, yeah.
If you decide that money is going to be your main weapon, that ain't going to get it. That money ain't going to get it done.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Well, but in that perspective, it's not true. Because just throwing the money at the problem is not going to make the homeless go away. It's like the war on poverty.
Right.
Now it's the war on homelessness.
Right, but that's my point. If you decide you're going to that money is going to be the main effort here, you can't print enough to make this go away, is what my point is.
Right.
So it's a factual statement. $100 million ain't enough.
Right. No,
there ain't enough.
Not.
There isn't a number you can make.
Because, again, you're throwing money at the symptom, not the cure. All
right.
Anyways, good luck, L.A. Next. All right. Next, Francis. The Russians are invading Syria.
Well, why not? We're saying a lot of extreme things lately, but is this any different? I mean, they are running unchecked across Eastern Europe. Does this sound familiar to anybody? I mean...
But they're in Syria now.
Yeah,
they're setting up.
Yeah.
Right?
So, they all but own Ukraine, right? Short of taking the flag off the Capitol building in Kiev.
We've made that proclamation on UFUF before that
they're now,
Ukraine belongs to the Russians.
They're now expanding into, yeah, I mean... Yeah, Although their last venture to the Middle East wasn't all that successful in Afghanistan, but it's a different animal this time.
I mean, I'm not even convinced at this point that it's a bad thing if they just stop people from killing each other.
It's kind of like having the mob in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right? It's like one of the safest places in town.
You got to take the bad with the good.
But no one's going to get robbed on your street.
Right.
You know? And more to the point, and I've heard people make this argument over the past couple months, you know, especially after Jeb said it was a mistake to do Iraq in 2003, taking Saddam Hussein out of there might have been the worst thing they could have done. Because he was kind of keeping the peace. You know what I mean?
He was
rattling his saber.
The whole creating the vacuum thing, right?
He's flipping off the White House saying, screw you, Bush, whatever. Well, really, was that all that bad? Because
it was a bad guy keeping the bad guys down.
Right.
Right.
And then you took him out, and now all the marbles are out of the friggin' bag. Where before, Saddam was just holding the marbles, because they were all afraid he'd gas every one of them, right? So this is kind of the same thing. Yeah, I mean, if there's a new Don in town, people might not want to hear it, but this may be the answer to that crisis.
It's very sad, but I don't know.
I will tell you.
My judgment's out.
This probably could have been an apocalypse for us, but Nostradamus predicted that the Russian president would make alliances with Syria, and that would signal the end of the world. Now, this was supposed to happen in 85, according to Quatrain number 4. This is Nostradamus' writings, you can look it up. And it didn't happen, but it appears maybe all he got wrong was the date, because it looks like the Russians and the Syrians are getting together. So, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the end of the end.
That would suck.
Yeah,
it would. I just got a fucking Harley. Jesus. Give me a couple of years. All right, and that, friends, is Shotgunning the News. Sorry for the F-bomb drop.
Let's get hardcore.
Walker's out.
Yeah. Big time scandals coming out of his...
Did we pick that? I don't think we did.
No.
We did not pick that.
No, look, before that last debate, the first debate, he looked good. Like, he looked like he was on his way to, you know, once the chaff and the wheat were separated, that he was going to be standing on the right side of that. And,
but man, last week, after the debates last week, he was in both of our bottom fives.
Yeah. Well, because his performance was horrible.
Yeah,
you can't go 35 minutes and not speak at a debate when everyone's trying to get airtime. But as it turns out, there's a lot of money shenanigans going on in his campaign. And somebody had reported this way back when he first announced, but they were kind of written off as well as just liberal media. I'm trying to think of who that was. But apparently, Karl Rove went to the guy's campaign manager and said, dude, you better keep your eye on the money, because so-and-so and so-and-so do you got on your staff, they like spending very liberally, and that turned out to be the undoing. And as with all losers and people who drop out of, you know, the dumpster fire then becomes public,
right?
Doesn't matter who you are, once your campaign ends without a victory, the dumpster fire comes out of the woodwork. And apparently that was the case. Money was being spent, they like extravagant money, like, you know, planes and things on planes that they didn't need when they were traveling from place to place. Just luxurious accommodations, and basically spent himself out of the race. He ran out of money. Kind of like Barry.
So, Fran, who do you think's next? Let's go on record and say who's next.
We're not talking about like the Santorums of the world, right?
Yeah.
Who's next? That's easy. I mean, it's gonna be your boy there from South Carolina. Lindsey Graham will be out.
All right. Let's back up. Let's back up with the your boy comment. Okay.
Well, you're the one that outed him, so I'm assuming you have some kind of inside baseball with him.
I was just hoping that he might be the first gay president of the United States.
But Walker was polling less than Santorum after the last debate.
Right.
He was at less than 1%. Santorum is polling at 3. And Lindsey Graham is polling at 0. So I would say Graham is probably out next. That would be my prediction.
It's hard to guess because you got a guy like Santorum who really is running an issues campaign, yeah. Right? He's sticking to his guns.
To fight the insurgent.
You know, yeah. Which is kind of like Graham, which is kind of like Huckabee.
Yeah, but...
I got to think Pataki's short for this
Yeah, but campaign. His ego is big as all outdoors.
Well, they're all their
well,
egos
they are,
big,
but... But he's also a pompous ass. I mean,
but he's not standing on Christian conservatism or none of this other stuff. He's just kind of out there hanging. He's got to be next.
I think we need to split it up. I think of the people on the bottom, I would say. Okay, I mean, I could see Pataki or that guy who joined late. I can't remember his name. Who made the 18th candidate? And he didn't get in either debate. He didn't get in the minor league.
I don't even remember.
But I wouldn't count him. But so those bottom guys, I would say Graham or Pataki. And of the top guys, I would say probably Cruz or Kasich would probably be the next one out in the top, you know, in the A team, if you want to.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But I think Cruz is the guy that's going to stick it out. He's another.
Yeah, but there are rumors today that he had sent out a letter saying he's out, and then.
Really?
A quick email saying, no, I'm not. That wasn't, don't pay attention to that. Mm. So, all that means to me is that letters like that have been drafted and one leaked out.
Yeah.
You know, so those letters exist. He just hadn't hit the send button yet, and somebody did by accident. So, you know, again, it's a money issue. Then that's what the debates this early serve. For people who wonder, why do we do these this early? It fleshes out the money. Because when you do poorly, like Walker did, well, his donors dried up. And when you spend as extravagantly as the reports say that he did, and you ain't got donors, well, now you're in your own pocket. You can't keep going. Iowa's not till February. That's a long way off.
That's a lot
of money to spend between now and then. So, Kasich didn't do great in the debate. Cruz did okay, but he's just, I think like what you've been saying for the past couple weeks, dude, he's just too polarizing, and I don't think people are going to want to put their money there. Because they know he just cannot win. So, look, the people who, these donors, they're not ideologues. They're gamblers. And they want to put their money where it's going to win. And so I just think he's going to lose his...
Well, we might talk about this a little bit later. There are several... There's a lot of candidates in the Republican Party that are polarizing. But we got to define how they're polarizing.
Right, and that's what you were... Right.
Right. And so Cruz is polarizing almost from a religious conservative Christian standpoint.
And it's that's a small subgroup of the Tea Party, and I think that's not going to be enough to keep them going.
No.
It's just not.
Okay, so Fiorina goes on Fallon.
So let's talk about somebody who's going to be in it to the end.
Carly, my girl.
Yeah.
Wearing the shirt.
He's repping Carly
today. I'm repping my girl.
Two white guys.
She looked good. She looked good on Fallon.
Look. She reminded me of when Bob Dole went on David Letterman after he got hosed.
After he
by
lost,
Clinton.
Yeah.
Was the most relaxed dude I ever seen in my life. Like, now, if that idiot had shown up on the campaign trail, I'd have voted for him. She's got this thing nailed. Like, whether she wins or not, I don't know, but she's got it. She understands the process, and she's figured it out. Like, and you always used to say that at work. Look, you figure out the process, you're going to move up. She's figured out the process, and she's clearly taking advantage of everything in front of her. Goes on Fallon, you know, and just nails it. I mean, just she's funny. She sings a couple bars of songs she's made up that she sings to her dogs. She answers some really good questions on Hillary Clinton, you know, and Fallon asked some good questions. I was a little surprised because he is strictly entertainment, but he asked some good questions. She was impressive.
I thought she was. Yeah,
she shows no signs of slowing down. And you'll know when she's made it when they start lobbing pot shots at her. When the other members, the other Republicans start calling her out. That's when you know that you're growing to the top.
They're starting to creep up on that.
Yeah.
So they're getting ready. They're loading their guns. But I thought she looked good. She made the clever comment about Putin and Trump. Yeah. They got a lot in common. Then she talked about Putin a little bit. I sat in the same room with him. Here's my judgment of him.
Shows experience.
Talked
about Clinton, about the woman on woman thing, and said, hey, look, she's a woman working hard, and that's why I'll never make a personal attack against her. All my attacks are based on facts.
Right.
She lied here, here, and here. The proof of that is here, here, and here. You know, that's what made Chris Matthews shut up. She did that same routine on the Chris Matthews hardball, And he had no reply. And, of course, that blew up on Twitter. But so it's the same thing. So, I mean, she just has good and, like, this is the kind of stuff that Sarah Palin would say, these are gotcha questions. And if they are, she seems to be able to handle
them. Well, that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
You have to expect gotcha questions, and you have to be able to handle them. Whether they're fair or not, throw fair out.
Right. This is for the presidency.
This is for the presidency.
Right.
You can't handle gotcha questions, you ain't going to make it.
We play all nine innings at this level, right? So you got
that's right.
You gotta, and she, you know, look, she's here to stay on the
big
stage.
She's a sharp cookie, baby. She is. She's going to be tough. All right, so Trump goes down.
I don't know what he's doing now. I mean, he
goes on.
He's been on this birther binge here the last 2 weeks. I don't know what this is about.
Well, he went on. What's the new late show thing with that idiot?
Colbert.
Colbert tried to bait him into the.
He wouldn't answer. But he's been answering. He keeps bringing it up. He keeps saying, like today, he said, look, Hillary Clinton was the first birther. She's the one who brought this up in 08.
Well, she was, though.
Well, she wasn't, actually. They already proved that's not true. Her campaign manager, a guy named Penn, what Trump's referring to is this guy named Penn wrote for an op-ed in Washington Post where he said that they questioned, you know, Obama's American roots. But they never say that Obama wasn't born in the United States.
She was the first one that
she certainly pierced the whatever.
Yeah.
But she never. They never. Like what she's saying. And again, it's typical parsing of words. We never said he wasn't an American. We were just laying claim to the fact that he doesn't really have American roots since his ancestry is not from here. And they were, you know, and but like you said, that has all the drippings of. Well, he's not one of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, then that's what Trump alluded to. But Trump just came out and said, look, she's the one who said he wasn't an American in the first place. That technically is not true. But the thrust of that argument is. She's the one who opened that door during the 08 campaign when she realized, oh, crap, he's going to beat me. And so...
But Trump is the one that made a big deal about it. I mean,
he won't let it go. His investigators are going to... Those freaking guys have been there since 08.
And now,
and they're just sipping Mai Tais.
Like, and now he doesn't want to talk about it.
No, because now it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Number one, because at this point, there's nothing to be done.
Right.
Right? I mean, and I think everyone has disproved it to the point where it's just a ridiculous argument, and it makes you look silly. Birthers, these are the reason that this guy won a second term with 23% unemployment. Because we were hooking and dodging all these stupid things like birtherism, and not focusing on the real issue, like he was handed a crappy economy that he made worse.
Right.
And yet somehow got elected in a landslide because of nonsense like this. And so now Trump is wisely keeping his mouth shut, but he's been fanning his flame for a couple of weeks, and it's like, dude, you're winning on your own merit. Like, you're winning this campaign on your merit. Think that through for a second. You know, whether it's cold of personality, like you say, that's just Trump being Trump. Like, there's no shenanigans or smoke and mirrors. He's just being himself, and he's winning. This stuff here, you know, he needs to get out of that in a hurry. It's just not going to help him.
I agree. I agree that he does. I don't know that he will. Who knows what he's going to do?
Right.
He's going to do what he's going to do.
And it's going to be the greatest, classiest thing. You wait till you see it. You won't believe it.
Francis, you won't believe this. I'm going to build the biggest wall. I'm going to build the fattest door. We're going to take all the... We're only going to take the best immigrants from other countries.
And we're going to have a... Big T, and people are going to be able to see it from all over, and they're going to come here to come to Trump's America.
Oh, son of a bitch. All right, let's go to the Culture Clash. All right, Francis, so a little culture clash, a little extension of hardcore politics, and I want to talk a little bit about Ben Carson's statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about it in a couple of different directions. Number one, of course, I'm talking about his comment about that he wouldn't support a Muslim for president.
Right.
Now, I didn't listen to the whole interview, but what I heard him say was that he would not support a Muslim for president. What is that? What you heard him say?
Yeah, but I didn't hear the whole thing because number one, I can't I can't listen in for 20 minutes because he's a low talker, number one. And
he is a low talker.
He's a little sophomoreish in the way when he tries to get a zinger. But, so I can't listen to him. I've heard that as
my
well.
My point is that his comment, and then it went to the news, and there was this whole conversation about constitutionality of who could run for president and whatever, which had nothing to do with his comment.
Right.
All he said was, I wouldn't support a Muslim running for president. So I want to just throw two things up, and this is going to be, I would say, abhorrent to some of the people. But this is, I'm just coming at you with this. Two things. Because, you know, it's the big Muslim question, right? We're talking about the Muslim. We got the kid with the freaking suitcase bomb in Texas that got kicked out of school.
It was a clock.
It was not a clock. It was bullshit.
Oh, you're insane. Five other kids brought clocks to school and they didn't get arrested.
We have kids getting kicked out of school for chewing Pop-Tarts in the shape of a gun.
But that doesn't make this any better.
But suddenly this...
Other people are stupid.
But suddenly kid puts a wires in a suitcase and gets kicked out of school and it's a... You know, he got kicked out of school because he was a Muslim. Well, that's just bullshit,
no,
I think.
No, it's not. Five white kids did the same clock and they didn't get arrested. It was an engineering project. My God,
that's not what I've read on the story.
Well, read the actual stories. He's an engineering student. Other clocks came to school that day. His was the only one that got sent to jail.
And the White House tweets out, you can bring your clock to the White House anytime, minutes after the story is released, which means one of two things. You either knew about this set up in advance, or knee-jerked...
Yeah, no, they got people combing those stores. Yeah, I mean,
I mean, that tells you. I'm not saying it was a setup. I'm saying that this story is bullshit. That's what I'm saying.
In what fashion is it bullshit? What do you mean? It's
like the kids just didn't get discriminated because it's a Muslim story.
Well, why was he? Why weren't the other kids arrested? I guess would be my question.
You know what, Francis? I don't know about any of the other kids. I'll have to read up on that, and I will.
I mean.
But the kid brought wires in a suitcase.
It wasn't wires. It was. Did you see it?
Yeah. I saw the picture that's been put in the paper.
What?
Didn't look like a clock to me. He certainly didn't invent a clock.
It didn't look like a clock. It had a digital face. It had controls. I mean, what part of that didn't look like any 24-second shot clock?
And what part of that didn't possibly look like a bomb? That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not saying
Because bombs haven't been made like that since Dragnet. I mean, bombs don't...
But what I'm saying is...
like, he would be kicked out of Texas
school
for that.
There's a story a week in the media about kids getting kicked out of school for straightening paper clips, Pop-Tarts, and everything.
Oh, yeah,
and all of a sudden, this is a national fucking tragedy.
Well, that's
tragedy.
Just stupid. Well, because, again, the White House, just like with the lighting up the... the White House in different colors, you know, when the court ruled.
Yeah,
they misstep on these PR things.
And I mean, why would they do that? I mean,
that's
a purposeful thing.
Because they don't think clearly.
No, I don't. Okay, I'll reserve judgment on whether they think.
They think clearly. I understand what you're saying, but they don't like. They're hypocritical to the very. Criticism they would level at Carson here, which is the same one I would level at him. You got to be president of everybody. So they say that, but then they don't do that. They light the White House up in multicolored flag.
That's kind of my point.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Because when people point the finger and say you're a Muslim sympathizer, and people go, oh, you're being racist, no, it kind of looks that way.
Well, but the Muslim sympathizer, I mean, there are Muslims in the American military. Like, to say Muslim sympathizer indicates it's wrong to be a Muslim. I mean, is it wrong to be a Muslim? I mean, because if it is, then we need to start rounding them up and kicking them out of the military.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. I know I'm not saying it's wrong to be a Muslim. I have no...
I think that's what they're attaching to Ben Carson. I think that's what they're saying. That's what they're taking...
Well...
Like, they're taking that statement...
Let me tell you two things. Number one, I got a travel advisory emailed to me the other day from my job. It's just a State Department travel advisor. You get them mailed to you once a quarter, whatever. And the travel advisory has said, if you travel to 75% of the landmass that exists on the world, which I'm talking about Africa, Northern Asia, Asia Major, Asia Minor, whatever you want to call it, India, Pakistan, You have a pretty good chance of either getting kidnapped or killed by a Muslim. That's pretty much what it said.
It says by a Muslim or by a terrorist?
By a Muslim. Really? By Islamic terrorists. Yes, that's what it said. Well, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
Go read it for yourself.
It's your argument, you're paraphrasing. Does it say Muslim or Islamic terrorist? Because those two things are not the same.
It says by Muslim Islamic terrorist. I mean, you can mix up the words however you want.
If it says Muslim, okay, I'm not.
No, that's my paraphrase.
Right.
Let me be clear.
But Muslim and Islamic terrorist, those two things are not equal.
Muslims are Islamics. Muslims are members of the Islamic faith.
But not all Muslims are Islamic terrorists.
That's true. Right. That's very true.
Right. So that's my point. If it says Muslims, then yeah, that's pretty telling. But if it says Islamic terrorists...
But Islamic terrorists are Muslims. So we're just picking nits here.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay.
Go ahead. Win your argument.
But I want to go to my second point, because this is... what I'm trying to tell you is I'm not telling you my Judas opinion or my racial bias or anything. I'm just trying to tell you what I see. And what I read is that there's 75% of the world that if you go to, you have a chance of being killed by people that are member of Islamic extremist groups. Now I'm reading this book, Heretic, by this former Muslim, Ali. Her name is Ali. Ayan Hirsa Ali, and his name is Heretic. This is the second book she read. And basically what she's saying in this book is that, like, you Westerners, you don't understand the Muslim faith, because it's not like the Christian faith. So you're trying to compare Muslims to Christians, and there's no comparison, because in Muslims there's no separation between. And I could read you passages out of the book; it'd bore you to death. But you need to go read the book if you're interested in this, because what she's saying is that in Muslims, even moderate Muslims, and she has a section of the book that says who belongs to that group of what you would call moderate Muslims who subscribe to Sharia law, and she goes through...
A moderate Muslim subscribes to Sharia law?
Oh, yeah. In countries like... That's what she's calling it.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And she says in countries like India, Pakistan, Africa, parts of Asia... 75 to 80% of them subscribe to Sharia law. And then she goes on to subscribe Sharia law. And I'm not going to talk about it, because it includes 7th century taxes like stoning and beheading and all this kind of shit that we've heard about. So I'm just saying what she's saying in here is you don't understand. You don't get it. Now, look, Francis, we have Muslims that live in my neighborhood.
You served with them.
I'm
in
not...
the military.
I'm not ascribing these tactics to every Muslim. I'm saying there's a couple of things. Number one, we get State Department travel advisories that says you're going to get killed by one of these people if you travel to certain parts of the world. And two, here's a woman that's read two books, and it's a plea. Now, you can say she's bitter or whatever, but I would encourage you to read the book if you're interested. So all I'm saying is that when Ben Carson comes out and makes this comment, I have to say, man, there's a part of me that agrees with that. That says, you know, I wouldn't vote for that person either. Now, as he said later, there's a lot of people I wouldn't vote for a whole lot of reasons.
Right, right.
But there's a fundamental aspect of this...
Right, but there's a reason he said that.
...thing that's like, going on. Well, I think that he gets baited into answering questions that he shouldn't answer, but I also think that's why he gets the support that he gets.
He's a neophyte politician. That's why, you know, he answers questions he shouldn't.
Well, I also think that that's part of the reason why he gets supported, because people are tired of neophyte politicians who just answer questions based on politics instead of...
what they actually think, right.
So when he makes this comment, all of the conversation that's going on in the news is about the comment, but nobody's saying, like, well, let's talk about the issue here.
Well, because I would say here are two reasons for that. Number one, no one cares who you vote for. You're Tony Hutt from Knoxville, Tennessee. He's running for president. So it's a lot different when he says it than if you or I say it.
Well, that's not my point, though.
No, but my point being, when he says that, like you say, well, I would agree with him. Okay, that's fine. And I you know, whether I agree with him or not makes no difference. But he's running for president. So when he says something like that, number one, it's going to be dissected nine ways to Sunday, because that's the way it works, right? That's just the way it's always worked. And number two, he has to be president to everybody. So when he says, I wouldn't support a Muslim for president, what is he really saying? They're not trustworthy. I don't trust them. I wouldn't put my faith in them. Well, okay, but these people are your countrymen. If you're president, you are going to be in command of Muslims who are serving in the American military. So there, I mean, there's a nine ways to cut that up. None of those cut good for him with the national media. And so they're going to make that an issue. And again, number two, then what do? I mean, back to my original question, should Muslims not be allowed to be in the military? I mean, there are American Muslims in the military who eat pork and do whatever. I mean,
and that's her statement. Here's a quote from a book. She says, today Sharia law has spread to a point where it's found near universal acceptance across the Muslim world. The most compelling evidence comes from a Pew Research Forum's 2013 report, The World's Muslims, Religion, Politics, and Society, a study of 39 countries and territories on three continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, with more than 38,000 face-to-face interviews in 80-plus languages and dialects, covering every country with more than 10 million Muslims. In response to the question, do you favor or oppose making Sharia law or Islamic law the official law of the land in our country, the nations with the five largest Muslim populations, Indonesia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Egypt, and Nigeria, showed overwhelming support for Sharia. To be precise, 72% of Indonesians, 84% of Pakistanis, 82% of Bangladeshis, 74%. So, I mean, I can read this on and on. My point is there's legitimate concern to say we do not understand the normal mindset of a devout Muslim. And if you're going to place Sharia, which is what he was saying, if you're going to place Sharia law over the Constitution, I'm not going to support that.
But is that really going to happen? I mean,
I don't know, Francis. A whole lots of things are happening that we never thought would happen before.
Well, everything that happens is stuff we never would thought would happen before. But I guess I just go back to all the other things that we were fear-mongered into that never happened. You know, we don't all have... what was the disease that was coming that was going to kill us all 6 months ago, 8 months ago, from Africa?
Ebola.
Ebola. No one's got Ebola. It's just all these things that we get thrown at. Oh, this is going to happen, and it doesn't happen. We're all going to be socialists. He's going to turn the country into socialist. We're not socialists. We don't even have a socialized medical system.
I agree.
Like, all these things keep saying this and this. And I happen to know people in the military, friends of mine, who are Muslims. And so, why haven't they had an uprising? Why have they tried to kill people? Why haven't they done the things that everyone says they're going to do? Those are anecdotal, but those are real examples. So what are we? So what
all
are we
I'm saying
about?
Here is, like, is the evidence that's put in my face says there's a conversation to be discussed here, and that perhaps we shouldn't just call Ben Carson a racist because he wouldn't support a Muslim for president.
I'm not calling him a racist.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm calling him an idiot.
Well, that's what the media said.
But how many times have we talked here?
We talk about that all the time. That's what I'm saying needs to be changed.
Your aim was going to be labeled a racist, and that's never going to change. Because that's easy. It's lazy, but it's easy.
But that's what I'm saying should be changed.
Well, okay.
We've turned into a society where we label somebody with a name, dismiss that, and we never look at the issue. And there's an issue here. If there wasn't an issue, it wouldn't be talked by somebody. I mean, Ben Carson is not an idiot, no matter what you think of him. Now, he may be unschooled in politics. He may be unschooled in PR. Or whatever, you may not like his politics, but that's a serious concern in the world. It is by people that I read about that know about it. That's what I'm saying. And that's really all that I'm saying.
Well, but what's the discussion then? I guess that's the point. Like, what's the discussion? Then what do we discuss that we should...
That it's legitimate. That's why he's getting support.
But you keep saying that this nebulous is legitimate is an issue. But then, what is the issue? What's the discussion?
I think that's why he's getting support. Is because there's a number of people in our country that are okay with him saying what they believe to be truthful. Maybe this is changing the political landscape of our country. Between him and Trump, for how whatever names you want to call them, and however, you know, however we want to disparage them. I mean, there's a difference here between Trump and Carson and Fiorina, who I think is a serious politician. But yeah, I think,
yeah, they're not politicians. They're not your standard great politician.
I think that's part of the appeal is that they say things that they believe to be true without reservation for PC, which is what Carson's saying.
And part of that is because they're not in anyone's pocket, right? They're on their own. They're on their own money. That which is a whole nother discussion that has nothing to do with all this other nonsense that we could have a long discussion about later about money in politics. Now we're seeing what no money in politics looks like, right? Because they're using their own. So they can say what they want, and they can go like this. They don't apologize, because he's done the same thing as Trump, right? He's taking heat for what he said, but he's not apologizing. He says, I stand by what I said. That's a guy who's not beholden to anybody.
I guess what I'm saying is, I wish it would generate a more open public discussion on this.
Well, not because it's the clodhoppers we have in the media. That's not going to happen. But the question
I know it's not going to happen, Francis, but in terms of producing our podcast here, I'm saying I wish it would happen. Yeah. I wish we could have an open discussion about this.
But I guess my question is again, what would be the discussion about American Muslims? People who are born here who are Muslim by faith.
All I'm saying is I'm reading this woman's book.
I know.
I've read her book, and I've said that several times, and she's saying there needs to be a reform in this religion for it to be accepted, much like Christianity went through the Protestant reforms. And things change in that religion in certain tenets.
It just split into two. It didn't change. Catholicism hadn't changed. It just split into two. That's why you got Catholics and Protestants. The Reformation age was...
Right. But there have been big changes in Christianity. I don't claim to be a social... But, like, we don't observe tenets of the Old Testament anymore.
No. Obviously not.
Right. Muslims still do. Many of them.
But not American Muslims. They're not stoning people in the streets in America.
Yeah.
They're not, because they can't.
But
so you're saying...
There's a philosophical difference, I think.
So based on what she's writing, and I mean, I don't know who she is, other than a person who's lived that life, I guess. Based on what she's saying, the guys that I know who wear the uniform, if they could, they would stone people? Is that what we're saying?
No, I think that she's saying...
Well, that's what you just said.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
You just said...
She's saying a large percentage of Muslims would, yes. And that she still considers herself a Muslim, but she considers herself a reformed Muslim, and that others are, but a large percentage of them are not.
My question to her would then be, obviously you can't answer this, but would be, does she consider American-born people who claim the Muslim faith actual Muslims in that sense, because they're not doing any of the things she's talking about, right? Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, would she look at
but
them?
You
and
know,
they're not
a
really,
larger percentage
really
of Muslims in Europe are doing those.
Right,
Britain are doing those.
So would she then say, well, but American Muslims are not?
And she's
not.
Saying that that's a growing movement. That's what she's saying. She's saying that Sharia law, which, as you read it, is seventh century stuff.
Sure.
She's saying that rather than being a receding trend, it's a growing trend. And that Americans, and that West, she doesn't say Americans, she says Westerners.
Right.
Don't understand what that means.
Oh, I would agree with that. But again, to belabor this point, I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, because the only examples I see of that type of extremism in the law has been done by Christians in the last 2 years. You know what I mean?
No, I don't understand that. What does that mean?
Well, this girl in Kentucky, I mean, she's applying her religious faith to the law, not the law to the law. She's applying her religious faith, saying, well, God says these are invalid, so no, I'm not interested in these things, even though it's my job, that's what I'm elected to, and I get $80,000 a year to do it, which I still can't believe. But, so that's... You know, that's where I've seen religious extremism. But I've not seen that out of Muslims, American Muslims. I've not seen that out of the guys who wear the uniform. So, you know, I mean, what am I supposed to base it on? I guess. What is the discussion? We need to kick all these people out. Because of what they could be, what the potential is, what we think they could be, based on what the religion is doing around the world. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Is that, like, how do you have that conversation? How do you even have it? Like, forget the nonsense about the media not being able to do it, have that conversation. But how do you even have that?
I think that's a good question. I think you have the conversation, right? I think you have the conversation that, as you know...
Like what? Like, what's the conversation, though? Do we need to be afraid of these people? Like, what's the conversation? What's the opening question?
I think a lot of Americans are. I mean, they attacked our country. I mean, Islamic terrorists, if we need to couch it that way, attacked our country on 9/11. We all know that.
Yeah.
They weren't fucking Buddhists.
Timothy McVeigh blew up a building in Oklahoma.
You know? Well, you know, I mean, the anomaly doesn't prove the pattern, Francis.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to talk about the building in Oklahoma and compare that with violence that's done by Islamic extremists over the globe?
I'm talking in America. I'm not talking over the globe. I'm talking in the United States. That's what I'm talking about. Because that's what ultimately the conversation has to be. He's not president of the globe. He's president of the United States. So when he makes that comment, he's not talking about the globe. He's talking about the United States. Because no matter what he thinks he's talking about, he's running for president of the United States. So everything he says will be balanced against that. Oh, well, Carson afraid of Muslims. Well, there are Muslims in the U.S. How's he going to be president if he can't trust Muslims?
Well, he didn't say he was afraid of Muslims. He said he wouldn't support one to run for president.
But could we not then... Why wouldn't he support one? Would that not be the next follow-on question? Did he not get asked that?
Yes.
Why?
Because he thinks Sharia law is inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States, and he thinks most Muslims, if they're a true Muslim, would put Sharia law over the Constitution. That's what I'm saying. But that conversation hasn't even been talked about. Nobody wants to even voice those opinions.
Well, yeah. So the question then is, if a Muslim becomes president, the question is, Would that person? Well, I guess it would have to be a he, right? Because it couldn't be a woman, as a Muslim, right? Right. If I have that right, I don't think it could be.
No. According to their religion,
right.
Yeah, that would be true.
Right.
Yeah.
It couldn't be a woman. So,
but why couldn't it be in our country? Certainly could be, right?
No. Because then that wouldn't be him. You couldn't be a Muslim in charge if you're a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I love that.
You know what I'm saying?
That.
Like, if that's what we're saying, if we're taking his thing to the extreme, then it would have to be a he. And so the question is, would he then institute Sharia law above the Constitution? Say, I'm now saying Sharia law is the law of the land, not the Constitution. That's what he's saying?
I think Ben Carson is saying... I don't know what Ben Carson is saying.
No, right. We're going off of that one statement.
This is about. Yeah, we're way off the rails.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what he's saying, is that I don't think a Muslim would do that. And that's what he said later, like, well, they would have to profess some kind of allegiance to the Constitution or whatever. Like, I'm just suspicious of what that would be. And to me, that showed some understanding of Islam as it's being reported in major parts of the world.
Well, it certainly proves that Obama's not a Muslim, right?
Well, I don't know what it proves.
Because if he is one, he's failing at it, because he should have already had Sharia law instituted based on that logic, right? If he's a true Muslim, so it certainly debunks that argument for the last.
You know, that reminds me of the story that I always heard about the church that fired the preacher, and that they hired a new preacher, and, you know, the preacher come in and the piano was right in the middle of the pew. You've heard the story?
No.
I've told the story before.
No.
And the piano was right in the middle of the stage. And so the first week he just moved the piano off to the side, and they fired him. And so then he didn't know why he got fired, but they hired another preacher, and he come in and he moved the, and the piano was right in the middle of the stage, and that's where he wanted to preach. So he moved the piano on the side, and then they fired him. And then so hired a third guy, and he said, well, what happened to the first two guys? And so they kind of told him. And so the third preacher that comes in, he decided he'd do it differently. He'd move the piano an inch at a time. And you know, it took him a year, but he finally moved the piano off to the side of the stage, but then he didn't get fired. So, which means people don't, and that's a change of management story that says when you go into a new organization, you don't just change everything all at once. You you make subtle adjustments. But
so it's a matter of degrees. So Obama's the first step. Is that what we're saying?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
Well, that's your story, implies. Why did you tell that story?
That is my story. But you said, well, that proves that Obama's not a Muslim, and I'm saying no.
Well, because based on the logic, based on the course's logic, that he couldn't trust that, because there would be Sharia law instituted.
Because based on her book,
right,
you can pretty much do anything as a Muslim if you're dealing with infidels to advance your faith.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that Obama's not the Muslim evangelical. He's not advanced the faith very much. I want to, you know, it doesn't appear anyway.
Maybe he has. Oh, this is beautiful. Well, two people that know nothing about it arguing about it.
When you get into, like, looniness, you go loony directions. I mean,
I'm not going in loony directions.
I am with this Obama thing. I mean, you know, you're laughing at me because it's so stupid. But that's kind of where we are. Like, where else did this discussion go?
I'm not laughing at you because when people say Obama's a Muslim sympathizer, I go, I can't prove it otherwise.
Well, right, but you can't prove that you're not one. Right? I mean, that's just a kind of a silly statement. Like, how do you prove that you're not a Muslim sympathizer?
I've never sympathized with any Muslims.
Well, that's what you say. Huh? Let's get you on the truth meter and find out.
Are you a Muslim, Francis?
Probably.
You probably are, you son of a bitch. I'm just saying. I'm trying to say, okay, to eliminate all this and get to seriousness, all I'm saying is that Ben Carson made a statement and that the media wanted to skewer him for it. And there was a broader conversation that could have been had there, but because of the political correctnesses currently held in our country, we didn't have it. And we could have said, there's a larger issue here where a lot of Americans are concerned about this.
Yeah, I just think you're just too quick to say there's a discussion that could have been had, as if it would just be, as if the media would step out of the way.
Oh, I have no easy conversation
Because, if you follow it to its extremes, what you're saying is a percentage of Americans in this country we don't trust and should not be allowed to be here if they're Muslims.
Sure.
So, that's not easy.
I think that's true.
Yeah, but they're Americans just like you. I mean, that's...
I think that's
because
true.
Then what group is next?
I'll tell you what. I'll take the Ben Carson excuse and say I think there's a percentage of Americans that are not Muslims that can't be trusted.
Well, right, but that's just as...
But that's a conversation.
Well, right. And that goes back to your point that's just as dangerous a statement as his other
one. And that's just fucking PC shit where we can't talk about anything in our country anymore. People say, you can't say that. Because if you say that, No, I'm not a racist. I'm saying Muslims have killed a lot of people over the... I just got a notice that says I can't travel to 75% of the world's population or I'll get killed by an Islamic extremist, if we want to put it that way. And I'm reading this woman's book who says the average Westerner doesn't understand what Islam's about. And I'm thinking, hell, maybe I don't. Because I don't even understand Christianity or Catholicism.
But that's no... I mean,
so there's a big conversation we could have here, but we never have it because of the media and because of PC. That's my last word. Go ahead, Frank.
No, I'll give it to you. I'll give you the last word. Just going.
All right. We've had enough. All right. I still love you, man.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me?
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 Are you fucking kidding me?
I think we needed to redo that clip, and I don't need to fade out the F word on the... Fran, are you kidding me tonight? PETA.
My favorite terrorist group, PETA.
PETA is suing a photographer. Okay, so let me. A photographer goes to...
This is so far removed from our last discussion. This is hard to even believe.
A photographer goes to Oingo Boingo or some place.
Is that a band?
Yes. He goes to, I don't know, someplace. He's got a camera. He sets it down. A black macaque, a monkey.
Why's he gonna be black, man? Damn racist, huh?
that's what the copy says. Was it a black macaque? Maybe it was a Caucasian macaque. I don't know. It looks black to me.
You just say that on purpose.
It was an Indonesian monkey. For my son's clarification, is not an ape.
Oh, right. Yeah. Don't start that.
No.
I don't want to bust it in here.
Anyways, he puts his camera down. He's got to go off and take a leak or something. I don't know. The monkey picks up the camera and takes a freaking selfie. And it's crazy. If you see it, you're looking at it, Francis.
Oh, yeah. He's got a, you can't see this, obviously. This is a sight gag. But he's got a huge smile. This monkey's got a huge smile on his face.
I mean, it's a perfect selfie.
My kids don't look at the camera that directly.
No kidding.
That is
funny. So, you know, he popularizes. Now Pete is suing him because they say the selfie belongs to the monkey. Francis, you've written about PETA before.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I tore them a couple times. It's not even fun anymore. I mean, they become irrelevant. I mean, they're completely irrelevant. Look, when the proof of their irrelevance is that story right there. I mean, that is just ridiculously stupid.
It is. It is wonderful.
Look, I rejoice and I light a candle every time a PETA member gets gored by a bull in Spain. Every time, you know, this monkey, if he saw a PETA member, he would probably laugh at them and then kill them brutally, is what monkeys do to you anyway. So, I don't get with these people. I just don't get it.
I mean, I just love the selfie. The selfie's like...
We're putting that up on the thing today.
The selfie's like, look at this, bitches. I got some big teethless. Look at that. I can eat some bananas with those things.
No, he's saying, I'll eat your ass if you come closer. Come back for your camera and see what happens.
Sorry. It's a crested macaque. I was crested. Being raced. Crested
see, that's
macaque.
That's you, dude.
I'm
going to burn a CVS, you bastard.
The Pete is saying, you cannot have that. That belongs to the monkey.
Well, where's the monkey going to put it? Doesn't it belong to the owner of the camera, technically?
Well,
even if we want to sink to a legal argument here, I mean, doesn't the camera and the storage device in which that picture is on belong to the owner of the
PETA
camera?
PETA wants the crested black... Oh, it is. A crested black macaque. That's where I got it.
You're saved.
To win the copyright of the selfie he snapped.
And do
what? I don't know.
Do you think he's going to hang it up in his monkey shelter or whatever he's looking
for? How would they even find the monkey at this point?
Yeah, I mean, do we have comment? I mean, what's the monkey community feel about this? I mean,
I don't know.
Do they want free TVs? I don't understand.
It's a beautiful story, though.
Mine is not, unfortunately. We probably should have done yours last. So we've trampled over the Planned Parenthood videos, you know, to no end.
Yes.
Every argument people have made against the video, which essentially is the, you know, arguing against the messenger because the message cannot be defended, although people are doing it. What we're hearing now, there's been a shift in the defense, if you picked up on this on social media, Twitter mostly. Now what we're hearing people say, or write on Twitter, is, look, Planned Parenthood does a lot more good than harm. Think that through for a minute. We've been parsing words on the Ben Carson thing for the last 40 minutes. You don't even have to be someone who studies the English language to understand the fallacy of that statement. So because they do good, they should be allowed to do harm. That's what they're saying. Am I misreading that? Am I misunderstanding that defense now? They do more good than harm, so that makes it okay? Is that what we're saying? Is that the new defense of Planned Parenthood?
Well, what I've read amounts to abortions are only like such and such
right.
a percent.
Of Which what, is the more good than harm argument, right? It's which only 3% of their business. They're doing all this other good
which
stuff.
Which is like saying of all the crime in the United States, murders are only 1.5%.
So let those go.
It's not that bad.
That's not that bad. Yeah. Unless you're one of the poor bastards that gets murdered. I mean,
the other argument I'm hearing is that they provide services to the uninsured, which there should be no uninsured, right?
Right.
We got Obamacare.
And the other argument to that is, that's a ridiculous statement, because any uninsured person in this country can do like before when big business ran health insurance. You walk into the emergency room, and you're getting service. Yeah. They do nothing that an emergency room or a walk-in clinic can't and will not do. Nothing. So, we're back to the 3%.
Yeah.
When all your money comes from 3%, it's 100% of your business. So if you're selling parts from the 3% of harm that you do, 100% of your profit comes from that. So don't give me this nonsense. They're doing more good than harm, so that makes it okay. Apply that to our personal life. How long can we get away with that
in
society?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we individually all took up that mantle, how long could we go doing more good than harm before the harm that we do sends us to prison?
That's just a ridiculous
argument. It's
such
a dumb statement, right? I mean, it's so dumb. But that's the argument we're getting. The only positive to that is it proves that they're running out of ammunition here.
It's like I have sex with 15 women. Only one of them were 9 years old.
Yeah, so you're good.
Yeah,
you
good.
Did more good than harm.
I did more good than harm.
I mean, say it out loud, people. Say it out loud before you write this stuff. They do more good than harm, so that makes it okay that they're killing babies in the 20th week of pregnancy.
That they're engaging in barbaric
and
practices.
Then cutting their body parts up and talking about it over an arugula salad like they're talking about trading baseball cards. I don't care what you say about these videos. The videos themselves do more harm than good. I mean, it's just crazy that people are defending this, and this is the nonsense that they're coming up with to defending it. And back to your point, which I've never really disputed once my eyes were opened, the media just lays down for this kind of crap, right? We know that. They just take this being spoon-fed because ultimately somewhere, if we follow the money, it's somehow circulating back to NBC, ABC, CBS,
yes.
Fox, CNN, the whole gang, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. More good than harm. That's the current argument. Stay tuned. We'll see what they come up with next week.
All right, folks. All right, Francis. We're going to play I'm Running for President. We skipped this last week. So I feel egregious
people were
about
fired.
That error.
It wasn't pretty around here.
No. Uh-uh. People got canned. So
we're about accountability here, people.
Amen, brother.
Preach.
Okay. So the first clue, and again, if you get it, don't tell me, because we want our listening audience to play along.
I'll let you go through all the clues first, and then
if you get it, give me the signal.
But don't blurt it out.
And then don't blurt it out.
Don't Paul blurt it.
Okay. Based on where this person was born, he might have been a Steelers fan, but based on where he graduated, he might have been a Blue Devils fan. It's clue number one.
Oh, wait, okay. These are people running for president, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Clue number two. This person can talk a long time. These are upper-level clues, Francis. I want to,
He's going next level here. There's no doubt about it.
This is next level. Clue number three. And this one is more factual than next level. This person was in Time Magazine's most 100 influential people for 2013 and 2014. Do you have a guess yet, Francis?
Yeah, I know who it is.
Okay, hold on. We will continue. Okay.
Which is a euphemism for saying he didn't get it.
You didn't get it. Clue number four. The eyes have it. Clue number four. The eyes have it. Still no?
Uh-uh.
Clue number five.
Oh, God.
I've got a smoking hot wife. Francis, do you have a guess? All right, Francis, do you have a guess?
I mean, smoking hot wife, that's got to be Bobby Jindal, right? I mean, he's the only one I know that was a smoking hot wife.
Wrong!
I'm running for president. Tonight's I'm running for president, Rand Paul. Rand Paul.
His wife smoking hot?
Oh, yes. Kelly Ashby. Google it.
Okay.
Let me give you the clues. He was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so he could have been a Steelers fan, but he graduated from Duke University School of Medicine, so he could have been a Blue Devils fan.
Okay.
All right. He engaged in a filibuster, right, that went for 12 hours and 52 minutes.
Right.
So that was the second
which we
clue.
We talked about here.
We've talked about that. He was in Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People for 2013 and 2014. He is also an optometrist, so the eyes have it.
God.
The eyes. Yeah. Next level, Francis. I went next level on you.
Next level. See, here's the issue.
And his wife is pretty She's pretty good looking. Have you Googled it yet? Kelly Ashby?
Kelly Paul? I'm efforting right now.
Yeah. So tonight, a person who may not be long for the presidential campaign.
Yeah, I would say, and I think we have him in our bottom, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. He's another guy who could be.
Rand Paul.
He's not exactly flush with his own money, so he's going to rely on donors.
Rand Paul.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Fran got a little tale for the Tales of the Apocalypse tonight.
Well, it's taking a new angle with the apocalypse tonight. You know, we always talk about these events or these things that we think will bring about the end of the world, but we never talk about where these things would occur from. There's always a ground zero. There's always a patient zero. There's always somewhere.
Always.
Where this thing starts. The zombie apocalypse always starts somewhere.
Always starts somewhere.
It's Australia, if you were wondering. It's always going to be Australia. For the last, I don't know, month, it seems like every other day they are discovering a new species of completely terrifying insects, animals, beasts of some type. The latest is this, what did we call it? The
funnel spider.
The funnel spider. And this genius zoologist here with all these degrees and education and training is trying to find a spider, a different genus of spider, I guess, or whatever, and he sees this hole that he believes to be a funnel spider hole. So he does what any other educated individual would do. We grab a stick and poke it. Okay, my six-year-old could figure that strategy out. But anyway, so he pokes this hole with the stick, and the female funnel spider comes charging out at him. And it scares the living crap out of him, but number one, because the belly of the spider is red, and the one of the two fangs, I guess, according to him, loaded with venom, ready to go, is also bright red. Something has never been seen before. So, okay, congratulations on your stick poke. Now you've just discovered one of the most terrifying two-steppers in the history of the world. Two-stepper meaning once they bite you, you got two steps and you're dead.
They said in terms of speed of death, in Australia, we say the funnel web, 15 minutes, no sweat. With a funnel web bite to the torso, you're dead. No other spider can claim that reputation. Yeah.
So when they talk about, the minute they start off a paragraph with speed of death, okay, you've already right. lost, all right? It's done. Right. Last week was this giant camel spider that was the size of a freaking Volkswagen. I mean, Jesus doesn't want people to go to Australia. It's just not safe. But that's where it's going to come. When the animals and when PETA finally gets their way and the animal and insect kingdom rises up, Australia will be ground zero. That's where it's going
to
be.
Maybe they send those monkeys over there to take pictures of them.
Get some good selfies with them. Hey, look at me. I'm pissing on a funnel spider. Yeah.
And we'll find your camera and buy your dead corpse later on.
Hey, don't worry, buddy. My lawyer's going to take care of all of this. Don't worry. Going to get these pictures back for us.
Okay, UFUF 108 in the books. Next week is going to be exciting. Francis, how long is the Pope going to be here? Do you know?
I want to say at least 3 or 4 days.
Is he calling in?
Do you think? We're waiting on hearing from the Vatican. This is a delicate process, bro.
Because our spiritual leaders of the podcast are Pope Francis, Sarah Palin,
and
Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
So, that's quite the triumvirate.
I had to dust off my Latin. When you're talking to the Holy See, which is the guy who basically controls everything in the Vatican, you got to speak his lingo.
I heard him. I watched the Mass. I watched part of the Mass today. And at the end of the Mass, he ordered a pizza.
Yeah.
They gave him the microphone, and he was like, "Oh, Domino's green pepperoni." And I was like, "Damn, I'm down with that."
You are such a racist.
The Pope's going to throw back on some za.
Oh, a little blast from the past there. You and your General Lee freaking white hood racist bastard. Now you're taking on the Pope.
Dude, I can't believe we even have the General Lee here, but...
Catholics were a prime target of the KKK, too, my friend.
I know it. They target every... I wasn't a member of the KKK.
How do we know? Can you prove that you were?
Can you prove that I was?
I don't need to. I just need to make the accusation. That's how it works.
Well, that's how it works. You are correct there. You are correct.
You look cross-eyed at someone and you are a damn homophobe, dude. You look the other way and you're a racist. It just depends on how you do it.
Say you don't like Yoda and you hate those green little bastards.
Keep your head down. That's the easiest way. Just keep your head down.
All right, folks, 108 in the books. Oh, it's been a too much fun. we're going to be back. I think we're going to have, if we have any Republicans left running for president, we might have some.
We went from a whole boatload to.
We've lost two. So we may lose some more by next week. And we're always mulling over new segments.
Keep it fresh.
Trying to keep it fresh. Keep it real. We just like to keep it real, Francis.
This is as real as it gets, my friend.
All right. Thanks, folks. Thanks for the listening. We sincerely appreciate it. 108 in the books. Life is a highway. Stay out of the left lane unless you're passing somebody. Have some fun. Jonah, please.
Good night. Good night. I miss you.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.